The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is the 10th of August, 2016. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. All you have to do is commit and take action. That's what it's all about. Also, too, the two biggest products right now that we're ready to release and have released, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Strength Times Power is all shot in HD. Dennis demonstrates every movement. There are added ones on there that are we give to you after the filming of the whole DVD / digital process. I use this whole app routine. Basically, we knock 43 pounds of unwanted body weight off Dennis, and I use this program for everybody that comes here because it's I guess you can use the word generic, whatever. I don't like using that with anything we do here, but it works to get everybody started, especially people that are very overweight that are having joint problems. Just the three body weight movements we do alone really will get you rolling. So check that out. And number two, the Winner's Circle. That's 12 modules I do on my own. This goes everything from my philosophy to what I'm doing at the present moment. Obviously, we get into things like the J.C. Heist shrugs, which most people don't have a clue to. We use the old school York iron boots, power rack training from every point on the rack, stone training, sandbag training, learning how to use thick bars properly, et cetera, et cetera. It's all there. So check it out. It's like we say, commit, take action. Everything there is reasonably priced. Anybody that wants to get into some serious stuff or just learn how to do things properly, it's all there. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Also, motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. You can go out there. Look at all the people we have out there. The content is all free. We have more content. I've been told this by marketers than anybody, bigger than Fortune 100 companies. That's how much we're sitting on, the same way with our blog. Look at the people we had. We had Steve Helmicki on yesterday, Eric Gutman, Chris Vaccio, Scott Shetler, Jed Johnson, Will Dinwiddie, Jim Romig. I mean, I can go right down the thing. You love stone lifting. We got Bill Crawford on here, in my opinion, is one of the greatest stone lifters in the world. You got Rainer Wartell. We've had all kinds of Highland Games on, Matt Vincent, et cetera, et cetera. And you know my feeling on new people today, and we're going to bring this gentleman in a moment. We got Casper van der Meulen on today. If you've ever gone out and looked at or heard about the video called Ice, this stuff is incredible. And this is how I don't remember who told me, but I was out looking at YouTube and I was looking at some of the stuff that these gentlemen do. And I was like, next year I'm going to go do one of those treks with them because it's like right up my alley. But before we bring Casper in, I want to give you a little information on this gentleman. As soon as I bring this up, number one, he is from the Netherlands. So believe it or not, we have more and more people now. I was telling Casper before we came on, we got Adrian from Ireland. We got Rainer Wartell from Norway. And we've got Netherlands with now Casper. And we also have Rainor. So, I mean, we're branching out all over. But I'm just going to read this paragraph that he has about himself. He's a Dutch author and a lifestyle adventurer, and this is a no-nonsense, skill-based approach to personal development through all kinds of exciting adventures and creative experiments. He's always on the hunt for new ways to optimize mental fitness, which you know we love talking about here, and to cultivate focused awareness and for innovative ways to teach these principles in a full blitz-sized manner, and this is, bite-sized manner, and this is what we're all about here. You know, the cold. They're learning. They're going out in the cold. They're going out, like he says here, I love to move, you know, run mountains, crawl through grass, stand on my hands, all these things. This guy is like a Renaissance man to me because he's developed himself in all different genres and all different ways. And this is what it is to be complete. And I'm sure he'll give us much more on what he's looking at and what he wants to do. But Casper, welcome to the show. I got to tell you, it's very exciting to have you on here because the development that I'm just seeing on your own website is incredible, and what I can find in video too, because as when we talked last week off air, you gave me a couple tips where to look some things up because it's hard to find a lot of information. So welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thank you so much, man. It was a great introduction. One of the best I've gotten yet.
Well, you know what? That's what we're here to do. I want to promote our, you know, as I always say, anybody comes on here, I feel is part of our family now. I mean that when I say that. And that's the idea. You're doing me a favor, and I want to promote you through my audience and get them to know you. So anything I missed, bio, obviously, give us your website, anything that's coming up in your life that's new. And we're going to start the show off. Every show I do with a new person coming on here is called Introduction. So it's a great formula. We're going to introduce Casper to everybody in the Motivation Muscle family. And as I always say, I hope Casper likes it enough that he'll be wanting to come on here on a more regular basis. So, Casper, take it away.
Yeah, so I don't have that much to add, actually. I think I wrote a pretty solid bio. But the thing is, what I've been doing that is very much relevant to this podcast is a lot of things that have to do with mental strength and yep. with the way the breath influences physiology and influences performance, with the way learning about the ways that people are programmed in life to not be strong. And any kind of strength is interesting to me. I've come from feeling very weak, very unhealthy, feeling like an old pensioner. And I'd see pensioners that were stronger than me, and I just wouldn't have it. And so a few years back, I started working on certain principles. I'm working on mental strength, developing my body, developing my mind, and especially trying to teach these principles as soon as I could to all the people that needed it. And some things that are very exciting right now that are going on is that my book is being published in the United States, because now I keep getting emails from people that listen to me on podcasts, and they say, when's your book going to be out? So that's going to be out in October. So that's just a quick pitch there. And if you do want to get in touch with me while you're listening or after listening, just check me out on Twitter. I'm at Casper's Focus, or on Instagram, Casper's Focus, or on Facebook, Mindlift Learning. And if there's anything I missed or you want me to elaborate about, I'd love to hear from you. If there's anything I say to anybody listening here that makes you go, hey, man, I can do something with that, or that resonates with me, just there's nothing I love more than getting in touch with the people that consume the content that I'm part of. So, yeah, I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you, Casper. And I'll just lay this out. If you want to get a hold of him, check out his website. It's beautiful. Mindliftinglearning.nl.
Mindliftlearning.nl.com yep. works as well. Or my full name, Casper van der Meulen or vandermeulen.com. And people can find me all over.
Well, that's cool, and that's a great thing, because we're going to spread you all over the world now if you're not already. I love the whole mental end, especially with the training and the way my belief is nothing is separate, mind, body, soul, however you want to phrase it. I always say with me it's like a third arm, because I correct people all the time now. I love to hear them say to me, like, well, you're just going to go in and lift tonight and do this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, it's like separate from my life. You know, I'll hear people say, well, I got to go lift tonight. I said, well, why do you even lift with an attitude like that? And a lot of people don't know how to differentiate training from their whole, from what they are, and a lot of them have no success, or if they have any, it's very little, or they end up dropping out. I guess the first question I'm going to ask you, like I always do, let's talk about your influences. Younger, I mean, you said you weren't in great health, obviously. What finally, you know, a lot of the guys on here are all into the superheroes, and I love the Hulk. And I had two big things in my life. My brother Jimmy had muscular dystrophy and died as a very young teenager. That was a very big thing. It's always on my mind. The business is dedicated to him. So I kind of learned right from the beginning, even though as a young boy, I didn't understand everything that was going on. But I was around someone that we knew was not going to live a long time. And I love Jimmy immensely. We took him everywhere. My parents had him matriculated and everything. There was never – the only defining factor was the poor kid was in a wheelchair. We took him everywhere. It didn't matter. As kids, he was part of the whole gang always. He never was put in anywhere or segregated off, and we wouldn't have any of that. That was number one. And I remember the first time I saw the cartoon of the Hulk – I don't know what it was. It was just like the first time I touched a set of sand weights. Something went off, something triggered in me that to this date, it's still huge in my life, obviously.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, Casper, what were the, as a kid, what was there anything defining in you that suddenly said, like your eyes went straight up? It was like someone pulled a shade in your room and snapped it right up and you said, okay, what is it? So what were your influences? And then we'll get into the next step here.
Well, it's a very interesting actually, everything you said up until now has played a big role in my life. And one of the things that I'm working on the most right now is basically integration. So the fact that we think that we have a mind and we have a body instead of being a mind and a body at the same time, that there's a fundamental disconnection at the base of the modern life that we're living. And a lot of people live that struggle a lot, and it's been my process and my practice to work with that, both mentally and physically, because they're one and the same. And that's also that ties in very well to one of my origin stories. I used to not be open about this actually, but I just finished writing my manuscript of my book Mindlift. And I actually decided to start the book with it. So the book was done, and then it was like, nah, not being fully out there now. So let's just throw that in. And there's a story of me at a very young age. I was always, well, of course, superheroes and that kind of thing were always really interesting to me. And I was actually one of the top level basketball players when I was between like 10 and 13. We won national championship, and I was supposed to have a go on into a career of as a professional athlete. Well, that was the big plan, at least. But then, I got injured. This whole thing happened where I was the top guy on the team, so I was always playing. Nobody would pace me, so I didn't learn anything about pacing. And then after that, basketball disappeared out of my life, and there was lots of stuff going on that was just depressing me, and I was anxious, and I didn't want to go to school, and there was a major disconnection between me and the world, as it seemed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into drugs. It was doing bad things at a very young age, and like lots of stuff happened. But the moment that you're looking for was actually when I went cold turkey on the drugs that I was doing. It was mostly smoking marijuana, which is considered to be relatively innocent in the Netherlands, but an addiction is an addiction, I can tell you that. And I meet tons of people who go, oh, I'm only addicted to such and such or to so and so. And I go, yeah, fuck you, you're addicted. I know.
Right.
But so the thing was that when I there was this moment when I wanted to go back to school, because I hadn't been in school much, I was just doing basketball all day. But the point was that I wanted to go back to school, and I had been kind of sedated for a few years, mostly. I was kind of intoxicated. I was never completely sober, completely there. I was always running from the present moment.
Yep.
And if I look back at that period now, I can't believe how comfortable I am talking about this kind of stuff right now, actually. But this is something as a content creator, as somebody who shares stories, is that your biggest struggle becomes your greatest triumph. And then it is almost like not a duty, but, I feel like this mission of sharing stories like this and opening up and being vulnerable so that people understand where the strength comes from. They don't just get the strength. So there I was 15 or 16 years old. I was in my backyard. I was completely safe, nothing to matter. And I decided I am going to school. I grabbed my bike and I was about to go there. And then suddenly my entire physiology shifted. So I felt the adrenaline pumping. My heart rate was out of control. My breath was out of control. My palms were sweaty. I was getting dizzy. Just the intention of going towards school, my stomach would turn over, everything.
Sure.
Then I decided, you know what, screw this, I'm not going. And I took a step back to the house. And then suddenly, all those, that anxiety attack, the panic, it calmed down. And I was like, well, that's a big shift. And then I decided to play with that. And I just went back and forth a few times. So I made the mental intention of I'm going to school, and bam, my entire physiology would completely rampage out of control. And then it would go, you know what, I'm staying at home. And bam, I was fine. And I went back and forth a few times, and I'm still learning from that same moment. As the same with any person with an origin story, you're going to find, you know, new bouts of inspiration and motivation that you get from your brothers still every day of your life. And I still have these kind of things. And I'm still learning from that moment, because what I did then is I had the clarity to kind of step back from my own involvement in the situation and look at myself, and the fact that my mental intention of doing something I hated would completely put my physiology into panic mode. And then every step back would calm me down. And then I realized, well, not right away, but I've always been a science nerd, even though I didn't go to school. I spent most of my time not being in school, actually learning science, because, you know, I wanted to learn about all the cool stuff on Discovery Channel. And also I wanted to grow my own weed. So I got into botany and I studied everything. And then there was a period where some of my friends would get into real hard drugs, and I would just dive into like these big medical encyclopedia and look at how addiction worked and how these hard drugs worked, and to try to explain to my friends that they were fucking their neurology up. And I thought that was a good strategy. Well, of course, junkies don't care about neurology, but you know, that was my thing. So I knew a bit about the science of what was happening. And then this moment of clarity struck me that I am in the present moment, I am in the safety of my own garden, and there's basically nothing actually wrong. But the intention of doing something that scares me shoots adrenaline into my system and panics me all the way. And the intention of not doing it calms it down. So there is a current and present situation that is reality, and there is my mindset that is determining the state of my physiology. And what if that tool, so that mind is a tool that I can actually use to influence my physiology in a way that is helpful? Because right now it was kind of like this programmed panicky thing that I had no control over, which is something that everybody knows how a panic attack or anxiety feels, or being scared of something. But then I realized that what if the mind is just a tool? And in the same way that, for example, you can use a hammer to build a house or to bash somebody's skull in, the hammer doesn't mind. And I figured that if I can learn to control the tool of my mind to create the same kind of physiological and, you know, real-world reactions, but then in a way that is actually trained and in a positive way. And that's when I decided to regard my mind as a tool that I could start to train and start to use. And actually everything went from there. And, well, the 10 years after that, the 8 and 10 years after that, I still was in bad shape, and I was really recovering from a lot of stuff, and I'm still getting myself into trouble. But that one moment, that one spark of inspiration, just like you said, you know, like somebody opened up the blinds and I could see, that moment of clarity has always inspired me. And I've been getting back to that point more and more now. So back then I started, I was very much into martial arts, and I was very interested in how, for example, a Shaolin monk can stand on his fingers, or can, you know, punch a bucket of ice for 5 hours without damaging themselves. And I'd seen one of those shows of Shaolin monks putting a spear to his throat and like pushing a car. And then I realized that my moment of clarity, that epiphany that I had in that moment, must have been something similar to the things that I had been exposed to in the little amounts of martial arts that I've been doing. So I started diving into the books about meditation. I got into Zen and about, you know, I kind of dove into the esoteric, and that really helped me recover in a big way. But then as soon as I started to feel normal again, I kind of forgot about it and just went being a normal teenager. And I didn't cash in on that inspiration as much. But I am doing that now, absolutely.
Well, you know what the interesting thing is too, especially mentally, you know, I've read enough books and practiced a lot of stuff here, because one of the things I believe with any type of training now, I've trained with people through the years off and on for long stints at one time. But after the last one where we had a very bad split up, the three of us, and two went off on their own and I went off on my own, and I had to now build a quote-unquote gym. I wasn't going back to the one we were at. It was still very hardcore and all that, but it was like, I'm not going to run into these guys anymore. I need to go my own way. Things were changing with me, not only with the weight training, but the mental end of things. The same old was no longer working for me anymore. Yeah. And that's when I started getting into all this dead stop stuff and the power rack, because I had to have something that was not only safe, but I could just destroy everything. And I had to learn how to lift all over again. I mean, I wasn't really using rebounding for anything anymore. And I still, to this day, that's all I do, other than, you know, when you're pulling a deadlift off the ground or you're pulling it at a certain height in the rack. That was a big risk, and there was a lot of indecision and a lot of, do I know what I'm going to be doing here? Can I still pull it off? You know, you don't have anybody around you pushing you anymore. What is my identity now? What am I going to be? Am I going to have enough in the tank to be able to not only do this rugged style of training, but am I going to be able to push myself when no one else is around? And I've been very lucky. The answer to both were yes and yes. But I also always had that disposition to run like that. I liked team sports, but I always liked being an individual and seeing if I could take it or not and produce, because then it's all it's all on you, and there's no excuses. Okay. All right. So what I found is, and I say this a lot on shows, is I feel that anybody that wants to be the best they can be has got to learn to be on their own for a while, whether it's permanently or you do it for at least a year stint. It really gives you an opportunity to learn yourself, to not have anybody there, because, you know, you and I both know, you go in any type of competition, I don't care who's there cheering you or whatever, if you're really into the thing, everything's a blur to you, even people, when you're going by them with whatever, you know, I'm talking strongman implements like that. When we were in Iceland, you know, I mean, yeah, everybody's there, but when you go to lift that stone, it's you and that stone, and it's like everything you've done prior to that is going to reflect on that day. And we all have good days and bad days, but normally things, I hope, are going to go in a great fashion. But what I want to say, like, when we're talking about the mental end and how you've conquered the things that you knew you could no longer do and they were not good for you, is this. Unless you're going to go into something full steam ahead, unless you're going to take some chances where other people wouldn't, you might have a little bit of success. But if you're looking to go and do monstrous things, things that most people would just say to you, well, you know, we hear this all the time, well, you're going to get hurt, or why do you want to do this? And my question is, okay, well, why do you breathe and why do you get out of bed in the morning, okay? What are your reasons? Is it just to go through, you know, the same thing over and over again? And what I found with this was this. Lifting and the way I've programmed myself to think, and I think a lot of it, too, was from my mother and father, too. Obviously, I got to give them a lot of credit with it, too. But being out there alone in all types of weather, I have maybe a little heater in the winter, but it's just enough to keep the bars from freezing to your hands. You know, I'm out carrying stones in the snow, whether it's snowing or not, it could be up to my knees. You know, I've had stones stick to my chest in the winter from the cold. It doesn't matter. And I'm not saying anything like that with a hero thing. What I'm saying is I've pushed myself. And I don't know how much further I can go. I'm sure I can go miles and miles more. But what I did is I pushed myself as far as I could every time to the edge. And every time I came back, I was better. I was always better no matter what. And it's gone not only from that, it's gone into the entrepreneur life. Because as we all know, it's very hard, especially if you're a one-man show. You're going to get presented with many things for many days and get knocked down and get back up. And there's times you don't know if you're going to make it back because things are so bad. You know, you have an IT problem, it could put you out of business, all this different things. And not only that, you know, and I've been very lucky and blessed. I've had very good success with a lot of things in my life, especially with the business. You know, people don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I mean, there's days where you feel like you're going to hang it up. It's that bad, but you have this thing within you, a mechanism that won't let go. And when I tell people that, I have to tell people it's something you have to get into, because your old life you no longer can go back to. Once you've established, I call it like a pathway, like we talk about with lifting. Build your pathways so you get much better with explosion or the heavier weight, all those things. So what I've done is I've built these pathways, and when we're talking the mental end, that's what I mean, pathways, where you're basically building these pathways where no matter what happens, you can always find a solution. It might take you a little bit longer to do it, but you learn to react and learn how to build on your own. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with people helping you, guiding you, giving you assistance. We all need that at times, but you have to be a self-starter, and you have to be brutally, and I mean brutally, aware and be exceptional and want to, like I said in the beginning, commit and take action no matter what. If you can establish these things in yourself, mentally, physically, like we said, it's the whole connection. I call it the third arm. There's no way you're not going to be a success. And no, but the thing is, I'll send it right back to you, Casper, in 1 second. The thing I want to just repeat here is this. Nothing is going to be easy when you're going after these big dreams. Now, you can learn, you can make it as easy on yourself, you can get inspiration from you, from me, from anybody. But unless you're ready to stick your feet in the quicksand and get your ass out of there, you're sinking to the bottom, my friend. And that, these are lessons that just are not taught today, and a lot of people don't want people. Most people are happy with the 9-to-5, you know, I've got a comfortable retirement and all that. Well, you've never stretched, and there's so many people I meet up with said, you know, I'd like to try what you do, but how do I do it? And I'm very confused. So I'll send it back to you, Casper. Anything, answer anything to that, whatever you want to bring, and we'll just keep going, boss.
Well, I think that people underestimate work ethic, and they don't see, like, when I was in L.A. a few months ago, that somebody said, like, because I've been having a lot of success in the last 2 years, but they haven't seen the 10 years leading up to that, you know. So if somebody told me, like, you're one of those 10 years overnight successes. And this is something that, you know, the dedication, it's the fact that no matter how much help you get, you're going to be the one lifting the thing. That's what I love about lifting. You could have, look at professional athletes that are, you know, they have everything. They have talent. They have, like, it's the actual athleticism is a paid job. They have all the best coaches, the best nutrition. But no matter what you do, you're going to have to get into the gym and work your fucking ass off, because you're the one who has to do it. And that's something that definitely, I wanted to be the best basketball player in the world as a kid. And having a goal like that just got me going. I would train nonstop. That would just be my work ethic. And also, I didn't have a lot of friends. I was being bullied and I was having a bad time in school, and I would just fucking train my ass off. It's all I did. I would literally have to paint the ceiling of our house every 3 months. My mother was like, you have to paint the ceiling every 3 months if you're going to keep training like that. Because what I did is I would jump through the house because I wanted to improve my jump, and I wanted to improve my height and improve my explosiveness. So I would never walk through the living room. I would jump. You know, I was, even if I would be, you know, making a peanut butter sandwich, I would jump. So after like 3 months, the ceiling would be covered with, because I would jump and touch the ceiling would be covered with like stains and peanut butter and anything, you know, that I drug in from outside. And eventually my jump got so good, I was able to touch a flat hand on the ceiling. So, you know, it was just footmarks, hand marks everywhere on the ceiling. And it's that kind of thing that people told me I was talented at basketball, but it was like, fuck no. Like 6 months ago, I was the fattest kid in the yard, and now, you know, we're becoming national champion, but it's because I put in the work every single day, you know, get up before school. And I think a lot of people learn that. And also the educational system is not set up in a way for people to learn that that's how you do it. No matter what shit job you have, if you feel that there are no shit jobs, if you feel like you have a job that is meaningless, then there are ways to make it meaningful if you work really hard at it and if you put your mind to it. And that's something that in personal improvement, a lot of people, they have very big goals and they have things that they want to reach for in their life, but they have these very deep ingrained belief systems about what it is that you can and you can't do. And I have fought with those a lot and still am, because every time I find a new challenge or something I want to accomplish, I set my mind to it. And then there's always some kind of ancient survival system, belief system, whatever it might be, that will pop up and go, well, hold on a second. Remember, you're just some guy. You don't really know what you're talking about. Blah, 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 and the voice goes, but then you have to do something. And that's actually what I wrote in my book. I wrote a chapter on movement, and I wrote one little thing about the deadlift, and not even about the physical things, but the fact that this is something that strength training has taught me. You know, you walk up to the weight and you know that it's going to take every single thing that you have. Yep. And then every millisecond of that little voice popping up and giving you some kind of doubt or some kind of idea of what you can and can't do, you're going to drop the weight right away. So for me, I have approached physical training, especially strength training, and especially the deadlift, which is my most wonderful move that I know, on the barbell at least. I approach it like a feedback. It's a feedback loop of my direct mental state. Not even a feedback loop of how well I've slept or how well I've eaten or how my training schedule is programmed or whatever. It's a direct feedback loop to my mental state and the manner in which I can direct my nervous system to do what it needs to do. So people underestimate work ethic because they underestimate the amount of influence they have on things. They really, really underestimate the influence they have on their own body, on their own life circumstances, on the state of their nervous system. Because nobody's ever taught them that, hey, you can actually prime your brain. Like you said, you can create the neural pathways in yourself consciously through lots of different means to actually reprogram your nervous system to work in the way you want it. And you can actually do all of those things. And a lot of people don't have that work ethic is because they have no idea how much they can accomplish. They just don't know. Nobody even slightly open the window to that idea, because you know it's all about sit down, shut up, do what I say, you know. Standard education, this is something that frustrated the hell out of me when I was working as a science teacher, that you know, you have classrooms full of the most amazing talented people. They are absolutely they could do anything they wanted, and then they spend 35 to 40 hours of their week in their young lives, when they're the most impressionable, listening to people telling them what they can and can't do. And I just refused, you know. So I was really rebellious in that sense in the educational system, and it worked very well for me. It's, you know, I was known as the best teacher in the school and in many schools, and that's all good. But the point is that people keep underestimating what they can do because, you know, I love this quote, by the way, that says nobody ever told him it was impossible, and so he just did it. And that's something that I'm looking for. Like, I'm always looking for those kind of things, the things that tell me that I'm not supposed to be able to do it or that I can't do it. And I've had, the last 2 years, when I started making plans and realizing that I wanted to, you know, make something exceptional out of my life, and that's why I call myself a lifestyle adventurer, is because I do every day, every single day, I do things that 3 years ago people would tell me that it's impossible. They would go, no, Casper, you can't run 30 miles on an empty stomach. No, Casper, you can't. You have a bad back, remember. You have bad knees. You can't go and lift twice your body weight on a deadlift. And no, Casper, you can't actually write a book in a month. You know, you can't really concentrate. You know, you've never been, you're not experienced in business. You can't just go out and become financially free in your own business within 2 years. And every time somebody says something like that to me, it just lights some kind of spark, you know, it remembers me of being bullied, of listening to teachers telling me that kind of shit. And I go, wait and see, man, wait and see. I'll talk to you in a year. And then they don't see me for a year because I don't hang out with people like that. And then after a year, they see me, and then it's like, you know, the thing that you said that was impossible 3 years ago, that's part of my morning ritual now. I don't say it to brag. Just you said, it's not about bragging. It is about being honest to who you really are, to be limitless in the things that in the way you express yourself. And real honesty to being, so real honesty to yourself is a matter of seeing yourself for who you really are. And when people say that, they mean the bad stuff. You know, you be honest, be like, look who you really are. You're not that good, but it's actually the opposite end. Like people, everybody has this incredible intrinsic value. And I know because I have worked with thousands and thousands of people on things that they thought they couldn't do. So I've made music with people who were deaf, even, you know, people who are disabled. I've climbed ice cold mountains with people who were sick and who were weak and couldn't even, you know, they couldn't even take a cold shower. And so they were on the top of a mountain with like well below freezing in their shorts, you know, that kind of thing. So I work with this kind of principles, and it has taught me that like talent plays a role. It's okay, you know, if you want to be the top one, if you look at the Olympics, then you'll see like that's the talent. If you look at the world championship, okay, that's where the talent is, but not without the insane amount of hard work.
Yeah, and you know something else? Here's a deal with people. Comparisons have really snuffed out a lot of progress with people that, hey, look, being average is not as bad as everyone thinks it is. If you know, how many people do we know, I'm sure, you know, when you were talking about people that couldn't even move and are now they're climbing a mountain in the snow with you with basically nothing on, and the triumph is there. But the initial thing to do any of this stuff is take the first step. And I always say here with anybody I work with, we do everything in small steps. Now, it might, in the beginning, it's going to roll like crazy. You're going to find a whole new side of you you've either buried or you never knew it was there. And that's very exciting to anyone. You know, think about, you know, just being able to bend over and tie your shoes without being out of breath. Now, we all take that for granted. But to somebody that can't do that, that is bad, all right? And you know, before we came on, I was, you know, saying to Casper that, especially now, look at the amount of kids 10 years old. I've been reading article after article, and I've posted them before on the website. They're diabetic or pre-diabetic, and they're, you know, they're weighing these unbelievable poundages, and they don't get off the couch. And one thing I believe in, and he and I both have to use it for our business, but phones to me have become a very dangerous tool, because I've witnessed multiple times people almost being run over by a car. They don't verbalize well at all when they have to speak. They're having a lot of trouble. That's not a good thing. And number three, I mean, when your life is totally in the texting world, or you're on, you know, Facebook all day or Instagram, where do you think that's going to lead to? And especially we haven't even gotten to video games and all that, because I remember hearing something just before summer hit, and I couldn't believe what I was – well, I couldn't. It still surprised me. It's like – you know, one of the local providers here was like, well, we hope you've got enough bandwidth for your summer fun when you're on your TV and your phone. And I'm saying to myself, my parents used to kick our ass right out of the house, man. It was like, go out and play. But we always had stuff to do. You know, it was neighborhood. You played organized baseball, football, whatever. And it was a whole different thing. I use the technology to obviously communicate with everybody. I mean, you know, think about it.
Yeah.
You know, Casper's in the Netherlands and I'm in upstate New York, and we're talking like we're a block. It's phenomenal, all right? But on the other hand, it's a double-edged sword that will kill you if you don't look out. Yeah, I don't want something that's live in my pocket that's radiating like into my testicles, all right? Obviously, I don't want something that's in my ear all the time that, you know, they've seen more and more instances of brain cancer since this stuff. And I don't want to get into all that stuff.
There's an important, if it's okay, there's an important point, I think, that so it's always weird to me what people overlook. So, for example, there's a lot of discussion on something like radiation that is very difficult to speak. Like, it's very difficult to find scientific backing, but also, like, there's these stories that kind of confirm that the radiation is dangerous, blah, blah, blah. And that's the kind of thing that sounds really spectacular, the radiation. People jump on it. But what they people don't recognize the state of their own physiology and the way it influences right. their psychology. And they don't recognize it so badly that they have no idea what's going on. So if you look at – so this is one of the most important things for strength training, the main reason that I tell people to go and lift and to go and do handstands and posture realignment is because if you – create a powerful pose in your body, you will yep. make more testosterone, you will produce less cortisol, so you will be more confident and less stressed if you have a strong posture. Now look yep. at all of these kids that are working on their phones, because I love technology, I love the fact that we're able to talk. My entire business runs on Facebook and Instagram, and on word to mouth, of course, but you know, that's and on the real, like the stuff when I get on stage, but
yep.
all the marketing is digital, it's wonderful. But look at, so for people just to become aware of the fact that if you are in this hunched over position, you are
yep.
You are specifically activating muscle groups and nervous system functions that prime your brain to be scared. Because if you hold a weak position, then that is going to cause your body to produce less testosterone and to produce yep. more cortisol, which means that you are simply more stressed, more anxious, and you're less confident of who you are. And that's one of those things where I go, so people, they I don't mean to negate your point on radiation and to say that it's
not
great,
not at all.
But what I, so people jump to these kind of invisible things that they can't see, they can't control, they have no idea what it's really like. And like, this is one, radiation is one of the things, I just don't have enough information about it to make an informed opinion. What I do
right.
know is that I've worked with kids in that age group, you know, 14, 15, 16, and, you know, the boys who stay boys, like they don't become men because they, you know, they don't have enough testosterone. And a lot of times,
exactly.
like, so I do a lot of, I used to do a lot of consulting and that kind of thing for parenting and to help their kids feel more powerful in their own life, and you know, kids in puberty to feel more confident. And then they would go, yeah, could you work with them, do some coaching, help them to meditate? And I was like, meditate?
Yep.
Just to have the kid go outside, climb a tree,
yeah.
and roll in the mud. And then
yeah.
they go, yeah, I'd like them to go outside, but you know, and they'll be dirty. And who cares? You know, you want
yeah,
to have strong.
Exactly.
So I love this whole, the fact that now, like this animal movement and these primal principles are coming back into the health and fitness industry. Because, you know, I see people working on their aesthetics in the gym, working isolated muscle groups with pulleys. And then I go, so how about you run up a hill and climb a tree? And you know, they're destroyed. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Feel that this is, so if you look at the Instagram, let me take a selfie with my abs culture that is focusing
yeah.
on aesthetics. Like, I like aesthetics. It's nice to look at and it's good. You know, it's good to have all these people in this health-minded a new thing that is coming, like this giant growing niche. But what is it doing to our psychology? Because just lifting a giant stone is one of the most
yeah.
amazing things that you can actually do. Just last week, I was having a strongman party with my brother, who is a national champion weightlifter. We're starting a strength-minded gym right now. We're working
yeah.
on that. And we were just pulling a car across a parking lot. And people look at you like you're crazy. But if you're in
yeah.
a gym riding a stationary bicycle, you know, or if you're like pulling some useless direction, well, you know, with an isolated movement, unless you're on like supervision of a physical therapist, I go, what's the point? And so why is it so incredibly weird for me to pull a car over or you know, or to drag sandbags around, to want to lift a stone, to climb trees and to run barefoot, to sit in a tub of ice? Why all of these things that my body was actually built for make it stronger and prime my psychology into this very strong state of mind, this very primal thing where I program my nervous system to be in a stronger state? Why is all of that weird? And one thing I'll add to that is when I was like 6 years ago, I was sitting on the couch, I was drinking beer, I was smoking, I was playing video games all day. I would eat. I was 80 pounds overweight. Nobody ever told me I was doing anything extreme. And then I go,
right.
hey, you know, I have this new goal. I'm going to climb a mountain in my shorts. I'm going to run an ultra marathon, and I'm going to lift twice my body weight. I'm going to do it in the same week, and I'm going to give myself 6 months of training for it, and I'm going to use every mental tool that I've learned to do it. Like, that was my plan. And people go, nah, that's extreme. You shouldn't do it. It's dangerous. And I was like, 6 years ago, I was a fat loser on the couch. Nobody told me I was doing anything extreme. And that really ties back into the work ethic. You know, if you say, well, I'm traveling to Iceland. Oh, what are you doing on holiday? No, I'm lifting the giant ass stone because I can. So that's crazy. Yep. Should you? You know, what's that? And they just don't know what you're talking about. And that.
No, not at all. Well, and the thing is, too, you know, when we're talking about connecting in the brain, one of the things I do for warm-ups, which really works out well, is I'll take an Apollon axle. It won't be loaded. It could be empty at 33 pounds, or it could have 2.5s on or whatever. After I do my body weight warm-ups, I'll do something to the effect of standing reverse curls with it. I'll do barbell curls with it. I'll do bent rows with it. And, I press overhead with it. Now I can do whatever rep scheme I want. I usually keep them low. That really is a generator, for me. Now, when we're talking about pumping testosterone, obviously you can't beat the squat or deadlift. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, now you get into the strongman genre and you're lifting stones, you're flipping tires, you're farmers walking, you're, you know, running with a yoke, whatever you want to pull in. This is going to create massive amounts of testosterone and growth hormone. Yeah. But the thing everyone should be cautious of is the time that you're spending in the gym, because if you're going over an hour, I try to go no more than 45, but it depends on how heavy I'm going that night and how much time I need to take. You're really going the opposite direction. And when we're talking about young kids, I have one who's 15 here, who's a basketball player. He's very tall already. He's almost 6'2". He came here at 143, and he's up to 167 now, and it hasn't been quite a year. I could put another 27 on him, and he would just start looking like he's filling out. But he already went to basketball practice the other day, and the coach notified his dad that he couldn't believe how much faster and bigger he was, okay? Now, his whole diet pretty much has been squats, pulls, but massive stones all the time now. I had him walk the other day. It was 50 feet, 40 feet about. He never walked with 170-pound Husa steel, and those are the ones we build out of steel, fill with shot, and can load plate trees. I have three different versions. The fourth one is with a gentleman, good friend Steve Helmicki up in Buffalo. So we've built four of them. Now, this is a kid that thought bench pressing was the way to go, and he's found out now that it's no longer like that. One thing I find with myself, too, that is a very good way to do things, and I love doing it, especially with the squats, is I'll take a very light kettlebell. It won't be any more than 16 kilos, and I'll do whatever I feel like doing rep-wise during the set, right after the set, getting ready to go in the next one. And I'll tell you why. Not only do I think the swing is one of the most phenomenal lifts with a kettlebell and what it does to you. You know, you want to build testosterone, just the thrust of that swing right there will teach you what it's all about. What it does to me when we talk about the mental end of this, Casper, is when you're under a big bar, especially when you're dead stopping, that right there, the forces will usually shear somebody in half if you don't look out, because you got to be so precise or you don't come up, or you might come up on one side and it'll be a half isometric and you drop it. But the biggest thing with this stuff with the kettlebells I found is this. I want to be distracted from the next set a little bit. You know, the bar's already loaded. It could be whatever we're going to go for the day, or we're going to go up again. And what I do, I use that kettlebell in a way where I dive into that, and it takes my mind off of what I just did in the heaviness, and it lights my whole system up right to my brain. It's like somebody just stuck something in my arm, and suddenly, man, it was just like, boom, the light bulb just blew up and you're ready.
Yeah.
I'll immediately drop the bell. I'll walk in, shake that bar. I use the Buffalo bar, which is a cambered one out of Iron Mine. I'll shake that bar vigorously, like I'm going to break the bar in half. Three deep breaths on the third one coming in. We get under the bar. We got it, and I do them only high. I don't do them a powerlifting style. So I do that big weight in an Olympic fashion with that bar. On the third one, it's sunk, and here we go, man. It's like execute, and either you're coming up or not. 9 times out of 10, I've been very lucky. I'll come up no matter what. It might not be pretty. Sometimes it feels like you're grinding it out for 10 minutes, but that's the way that type of lifting is. Now, if you want to venture into stuff like that, I can promise you, you will be a Hulk. You will be a running buck, and I mean that because you will be pumping not only T and every other thing that's worthwhile in you. You know, we all have adrenaline. I mean, we don't want to be pumping adrenaline all the time. But all these aspects of this flight fright we talk about are all in there because when you're messing around with stuff that big, and that stuff, believe me, can kill you, literally, if you don't look out. I guess that's the whole adventure, you know, you got to have an attraction to whatever you love, whether it's a female, your weights, your cars, whatever it is, man. There's got to be a motivated attraction. So you've got to be attracted to that danger like that. And I am so addicted and attracted to it. It's like it's like a pipeline to just power. That's what it feels like all the time. So these things, the connection to the brain, obviously, with the warm-up with the thick bar, connects me right up. And usually I set an egg timer. I have to be done with all that stuff in 20 minutes maximum. And we get ready to fire in. Like tonight, I've got squats to do, and it's going to be brutal. It'll probably be 105 in my garage at least. And we'll go in there and wipe up as much as we can. And go from there. These are the workouts when it's like that, when you feel like you've hit a brick wall set after set, and whether you got to back down a little bit or just keep it where it is. These are the things when you go out on the battlefield, like you want to go to an Iceland or you want to go to a Scotland, and you're thinking to yourself, well, I didn't get where I wanted to go tonight. These are the things that build all of that success when you go away, because here's the deal. It's not always going to be good times, all right? You're going to have weather. You're going to have nights where you're really off. You're going to have all kinds of crap. You know, maybe you can't find something you need, and it pisses you off, and it messes the whole workout up, or someone's going to try to interrupt you, whatever, okay? But once you master this stuff and you can remove, you were talking about before, when something happens, you know how to get it out of you right away. And this goes with business and everything. It might have happened. You know it happened. But you know how to remove it and just keep pushing through it.
Yeah.
That's when you walk on to the hallowed ground of Husafell and you grab a 418-pound stone and you go around 50 meters in a goat pen that would make most people's eyes blow right out of their head. And you've done it in 18 seconds, all right? That's what it's all about. It's all the stuff you're doing wherever you train. Take all your punishment there. If you got to cry, you cry there. But by God, when you walk on the field, no more of that shit. You've already built the tenacity to get there. Now you take it the next step and you win. I'll send it right to you, sir.
Yeah, and I think that's the practice. So all of my practice is dedicated to reaching states like that on demand, basically.
Yep.
So what a lot of people do is they start lifting and then they do a lot of things and then suddenly they get in, like at least in the beginning, and they get into this zone where they feel like, oh my God, I've never felt this amazing before, and then they lose it, and then they feel like there's an external circumstance that they need to find that will then cause them to have that feeling, to be in that state of flow.
Yep.
But as a matter of fact, the state of flow is something that happens internally, that happens on the inside, and you might still always need a certain stimulus to reach it, but the manner in which you can get there and the speed at which you can get there, those are the things that can be trained. That's what you'll see. Obviously, you'll know this, but people who start lifting in the beginning, like the first 4 or 5 months, their learning curve is just tremendous. Like they speed up so in such a rapid rate because their nervous system, it's not that they weren't strong. Like, of course, they're building muscle and they're building strength, but most of those gains are made in the fact that the nervous system is learning how to direct the muscles to even make a move like that.
Yep.
And so in my practice, this is something that has been very interesting right now because I've done a lot of powerlifting before, and now I like to do strongman stuff, but also I've started working on some gymnastic strength training. I'm in the rings now because I used to have a shoulder problems, and this is just how I work. I go, okay, shoulder problems, what's the most difficult and dangerous for your shoulder? It's the rings. Okay, so that's going to be my thing, because that's going to give me the most honest and direct feedback on the state of my shoulder so that I can fix it. So that's the way that I personally work. And also, I just really enjoy the happy things and, you know, being able to move my body around. But here's the thing, that people, that the scenario that you explained, so you lift this weight, and then afterwards, the body is really impressed at what it's just done. So it reminds you, so there's this monkey in your mind that goes, oh, shit, dude, that was pretty heavy. I'm not sure you should do that again. I'm not sure you're going to be able to do it, blah, 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 blah. And then you don't want that. So what's better? Okay, so start focusing on the next one. And then you start loading up the weight, and then you go, and the same voice goes, oh, man, it was just really tough. Should you really do that, blah, blah, blah. So there's all this conditioning, all these doubts, all these negative ideas, because, you know, the body is going to be essentially lazy if you don't train it to do otherwise. And so what you just said there is something that is incredibly powerful, and something that I've worked with a lot, is just being present and creating the rituals and the tools that allow you to be in the present moment. So what people do is, when they're in their set, they look forward to the rest. And then when in their rest, they're either, you know, remembering themselves of how hard the set was, or they're worrying about the next set, which means that in each of those scenarios, they're never present with the thing they're actually doing. Because, you know, during the lift, the body goes, don't do it, oh, it's going to be so, blah, 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 and, you know, all these voices go. And then when they're supposed to have a rest, they're not resting because they're either reminding themselves or worrying. So this is something that is amazing to me. The fact that I am a very mediocre athlete, you know, if you look at my performance across the board, I'm mediocre in sense of, you know, the skills that I put out there. But still, whatever I do, not all of them, but, you know, I could walk up to a professional athlete who trains like 20 or 30 hours a week, and I can still have them make new gains on training them to focus and to be present. And that's something that's amazing to me, because that means, doesn't mean that I'm a fucking genius. It means that that those principles of conscious control over your body, over your mind, over your nervous system, and the way that you interact with those weights is something that a lot of people don't teach. Because, you know, you walk into a gym, what do you know? You just walk into the gym, you ask this guy who looks semi-buff from doing bench press, and you ask him, what do you do?
Yeah.
And he just goes, here's your standard routine, pull on those weights, now have some protein, and go back home, you know? So, and then you go look on Instagram, and you go see all these fit people, and you go, oh, that's probably what I should do. And they, so it's all that very external way of thinking. But if you if you can really be open and honest and listen to the signals that are in your body, that's also what I love. I'm sure you've had episodes on range of motion testing and, you know, nerve feedback and that kind of thing. It is that people, you know, when I explain to them about neurofeedback and range of motion testing and mindfulness practices where you sense in the body what happened and learn from it, and they go like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a cool tool. And I just want to grab them and shake them. And do you have any idea how significant this is? You know? Because they're missing the point. It's not a tool. It is the tool. And that ties into what I first started with, is that there's this disconnection that people go, I have a body, I need to command my body. Well, in fact, and this is, if you look back into all the ancient practices of strength and performance and, you know, like Kung Fu, if you listen to anything Bruce Lee says, you know, and also from what I understand, speaking to David Whitley that you know, he's the one that introduced us actually. He's been showing me things of circuit strongman that have been working with breath, that have been working with visualization and meditation and focus practices in order to be strong, that did go into harsh environments like the cold or extreme hot. To train their mind separate from the specific strength training. Because like you said, the real hard 100% work, you're not going to be able, strength work or conditioning, you're not going to be able to pound on that for more than 45 or minutes or an hour. Well, you could, but you know, it's not the best strategy. So then they regard that as their only training. But as a matter of fact, you can step into an ice bath and train all of the things that you need for lifting a heavy weight without actually having to put that extra pressure on your muscles and be stronger for it. You can do breathing techniques that allow to speed up recovery if you're willing to listen to your body. So this is something that is incredibly interesting to me. The way you just explained that, what you said is like you have these three breaths and every breath is a marker for a certain movement or for a certain place within the lift. And now that I'm working with, that I'm seeing a lot of Olympic lifters, because my brother is in that sport, and that's where the gym started, that I am noticing that they have this very strong practice of guiding the movement from their breath. And the only the only place that people use that now or traditionally is in yoga. And yoga is cool. You know, I personally don't practice yoga because it's just not my kind of thing. But the principles that they use in yoga about guiding the body from the breath, going to the being in the present first, you know, getting your mind and your body and your spirit or whatever you need to connect, get it connected, then start up your body by breathing, then going to the movement. Because that's how you prime your nervous system to just be in an optimal state.
Well, like I'll do too. You know, I usually stamp my feet too, obviously, to activate everything from the bottom up. But another thing I do too is I use certain words to engage. And what I do with the stone a lot of times, one of them, I'll run a very light stone for 10 to 12 steps with a sprint. So what I do is I'll come up to the stone, engage it just like it was a 400-pound stone. And when I go to grab it, I yell the word go. As soon as I say go, it's like automatic. Grab, run, come back, put it down. Now, these are all things that are tried and true. But obviously, as I always say, one of my favorite college teachers, Frank Klein, used to say, repetition, repetition, repetition. Now, he used to beat that through our head, and I was like, wow. Well, I understand it fully because he was a semi-pro football coach. He knew the ins and outs of a lot of things before this whole mental game has got to where it is today. Because I love reading a lot of things. I read a lot of things. I've had people on the show. I've got regular people that have both written books, Mike Gillette and Logan Christopher on the mind. I love all that stuff. But as I'll say once again, the best education is going to get when you're knee-deep in that gym, when that steel is practically putting you through the floor or that stone is rocking you so hard, man, you don't even know after you're in that deep squat position if you're going to be able to stand up with it or you're going to have to let it go. What I found, though, Casper, and we're getting near the end, obviously. I know we've got time and everything, but one thing I've realized through the years, and I used to get so frustrated and pissed off when I'd miss a lift or a stone, and, you know, I'd go to come up, I'd come up halfway, and I just couldn't lock the thing straight up, and I'd have to dump it. But now what I've realized is not only is it a teaching learning experience, but you've still gotten something from that. See, nothing you do is ever a loss. And the problem that I think we've been facing for way too long is this. You know, if you don't complete it or don't do it, you're a failure. You know, it's a waste workout, all this stuff. I got news for you. And I said it before when we talked about going away and competing. If your heart is in it fully and you've given your all, there is nothing you do in the gym or outdoors or in your basement or anywhere that's ever a loss. It's all the flag you're putting on it mentally. So if you keep telling yourself, I screwed up, I sucked tonight, I didn't do it, I should have done better, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's always room for improvement, and you can say things to yourself without beating yourself mentally into the ground, all right? And that's what far too many people do. But I'm going to tell everybody is this. No matter what you do, if you put 100% or whatever you've got that night into it, believe me, down the road, all those hits and misses all along the way are going to equal into that big goal of success. You've been working on it for a decade. But all those things that happen to you are all going to be measurable and are going to be successful. It's the ones that they have a bad night. Well, I got to take another week off. I'm overtrained. Or if I don't get that, I'm not going to make it. You keep feeding yourself that stuff, that defeated attitude about everything, and thinking that everything you do in the gym's got to be perfect. you will not make it. You could go to every trainer in the world. You can go to, you know, I mean, that's what you're talking
and also,
about. These,
I think is important to add to that, and that might be a nice closing statement because this is the most,
sure.
most practical tip that I could give anybody, is that as soon as you drop it,
yep.
there's two things that can happen. So the ego can scream or the soul can listen. And this gonna,
yep.
might sound woo-woo, but, you know, if you have that weight or you have that thing that you're trying to accomplish and it drops and it fails, the first thing you see people do is they scream. They go, oh, that sucks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or you
yeah.
I told you I couldn't do it. Well, they go into language. If you can catch yourself in that moment after you drop the weight or you fall from the pull-up bar or, you know, you're knee-deep in the mud at some kind of tough mud or, you know, you fall off the mountain in your race or whatever it is you do business-wise, as soon as that goes and you can notice the ego start to stream, then you sit down and you listen. And
yep.
I there's this quote that I love that says, the body whispers before it screams, and if you can listen to the whispers, you can save yourself a lot of screams. And if
hell yeah.
that one thing in that moment, instead of letting the ego tell you that you suck, you can listen to the things, the little tiny frequency of whispers that is beneath the screams, and that's where all the information is that you need in order to succeed on your next goal or your next try, or maybe in 1,000 next tries after 1,000 times of listening. But that's the
yep.
that's the one thing that I, you know, anybody who's into any kind of physical training, you know, listen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll leave this, and then I'll go right back to you, and, you know, give us all your information, website. Let me give mine out, and if you stay on the line, please, I'd appreciate it. I'll tell you this, I've said this before. My chiropractor, may he rest in peace, John Ridge, who was a very big mentor for me, especially with the business. He was one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. I mean, an excellent, excellent guy. Very simple, very smart. Very smart. And he used to call me. He used to send me postcards. Him and his wife would go away on trips and this and that. And he sent me a postcard one day. And it was a big, huge Bengal tiger on it. And he said, I saw this and I thought of you. And so I'm reading down. He's telling me a little bit about his trip. And he says, this is what I've been calling you. You never known this for. And I'd gone to him for 10 years. And he said, I always call you Silent Strength. And so when he came back, I sat down with him. I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, I've watched you around people. You're friendly to them, but you always sit and listen. And this is when you're saying the answers will come. Well, there's an innate intelligence in all of us. And when you can quiet your mind and quiet yourself and not be afraid to be alone by yourself, you'll find the answers because it's all there. We are light years, I believe, in not only intelligence, but just belief of the positive if we just listen and we can get things done. If you want to add anything to that, Casper, if not, give out all your info. I'll give mine. If you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it. And before that, the next show we come in, if you like this show enough, I would really want to talk about some of that cold weather training. We just didn't get to it, but awesome show. So take it away, my friend.
Yeah, I'd love to be back. I don't have a lot to add. I think there's some true deep wisdom in there, and that we've been connecting all those dots between me and you. So I love that. Yeah, if anybody wants to go and find me, I'm at Casper's Focus on Twitter or Casper's Focus on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, Mindlift Learning, or my website, mindliftlearning.nowr.com. And come October 25th, my book is going to be available everywhere where books are sold. And one thing that I enjoy the most out of anything that I do when I put out content is let me know if there's anything in here that I said that resonated with you, if there's anything that you liked about what I said. Just hit me up on one of those channels that I just mentioned. You know, let me know if there's anything I could answer, or just let me know what you're getting out of it, because that's I need that. I need that feedback because I love reaching out to people and I love to hear what you thought. So thank you so much for having me on, man. It's been a blast. There's not many podcasts that dive in this deep straight from the get-go, so I really appreciate that.
Okay, thanks, Casper. And we got to have you on when the book comes out because we want to push that out, and we'll have to talk about the book because that's some real interesting stuff. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Free book, Commit, Take Action. Our two products to date, the biggest stuff is Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. As I said, you know, that's what we talked about today, you know, the mental end, the ability to get in and do things on your own, learn yourself, listen to yourself, build the success you truly want, whether it's not only physical, mental, and you get out in the real world and you can take anything that's thrown at you, and believe me, you will. It might knock you down on one knee, but you'll get up every time, and that's why I said, you know, pay attention to yourself and think of those things. Also, too, motivationmuscle.com, as I said, category/podcast. Go out and check out all the content, man, we got out there. Casper's show will be up tomorrow morning, guaranteed. I've got one I have to get up today, and we'll have him up tomorrow because this was so interesting to listen to. And I love promoting new people on here as fast as we can because, as you know, we've got a ton of pods to get up, but that will all be done too. If there's a show you would like Casper and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Don't forget, we got a comments page on Motivation and Muscle. Send anything you want about the show. I will forward it to Casper. That's what it's all about. You know, reaching solutions, thoughts, ideas. That's what makes the world go around. Be creative. Just don't sit there and wait. And I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to inspire people. I'm telling you, five words can change your life. Believe me, try it with somebody. Also, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. And as I'm going to do tonight, if you're going to lift today, bend it, break it, crush it, squat it, press it, pull it, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says, domination in blood red, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We follow no one's path. And as I always say in everything I end with when I write an article, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Dominate everything you do, obliterate those goals, and have five more in your back pocket, and dent. The dent is when you have one of those nights or days, it just doesn't go well. Well, the dent is the 6 inches between your ears. Burn it and brand it right into your brain. The next time you meet that, you will destroy it. I live by those three words. I'm telling you, they get me through many, many hard days. Subscribe to that. I guarantee you it will work. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's listened to Motivation and Muscle from the beginning and has been a guest on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. We already made reference to the big T word here, and we love that, especially Dr. Wong is huge on that. Big stuff, and we're going to harp on it even more. We're creating men, not young boys that suck their thumb at 25, believe me. So think about all that. Obviously, too, we'll say that for the next 30 years. Casper, my God, it's been a pleasure in this hour. We're over an hour. It's gone so fast. Thanks for being on the show, sir.
Thank you, man. With my pleasure.
You are welcome. So before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 of your friends because we're coming for you regardless. So for Casper Vandermeulen, this is Eric Fiorello. I'm going to talk to Casper right when we sign off here. We want to get him back as soon as he can, and we'll have another big show for you. So have a great week, everybody, and do something bigger than anybody else out there, and you can do it. Be a leader, not a follower. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.